All right. Thank you, Crystal. I was sitting there talking to Emerson, and Emerson was so impressed with your playing, and I was like, she is really good, isn't she, Emerson? She goes, so smooth. She's so smooth. Yes. And so we are blessed in this church for so many people to use their gifts that God has given them to serve us, and Crystal is definitely one of those, so we thank her for that. If you've got a second, take your bulletin, open your bulletin up. We'll look at the announcements there. I'll just make some points of interest for you and maybe encourage you to make some notes in your calendars. First one up is today after corporate worship, we will have our regularly scheduled business meeting. If you are not a member of Dallasburg Baptist Church, please feel free to leave. But if you would like to stay and witness how a godly church conducts the business of the Lord, I would encourage you to stay. We'll model that for you very well. First thing, there's a lot of sign-up sheets. Well, I said there's a lot. There's two sign-up sheets. First one is this, the nursery. If you are willing to get on the nursery rotation, out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, there is a sign-up sheet to get on the nursery schedule rotation. Also, this is one we've been planning for a while. We've been praying about this. We still have lots of preparation to go into this. But Sunday, October 10th, from 3 to 6, Dallasburg Baptist Church, that's us, we're going to be hosting a block party at Eagle Creek Resort. So there you go. There's the sign. They're ready for us. We're going to go down there. We're going to show the love that we have for these individuals. We're going to try to meet some needs. Right there is what one of the outreach opportunities we're doing is. So what Melissa has started here, and if this is open to anyone who would like to participate, we're taking those Ziploc bags and putting full outfits in those bags, putting a scripture verse on it. That should be familiar to you from this morning if you went to Sunday school, 1 John 4:19. When we're packaging pre-made outfits so we can hand those out to the individuals. And so if you have any clothes, through high school, is that correct, Melissa? Yeah, sure, through high school. If you have any clothes that you would like to donate to that effort, that would be great. And then maybe you can't go. Maybe you don't have any children's clothes in your home anymore, but what you can come alongside of us to do is you can make brownies, because we're going to hand out brownies too, and so that's the next point there. We're looking for 100 packages of brownies, 2 per package. We would love to have you all come alongside of us and partner in doing that. And so most important thing you could do for us in that is pray. Pray for that. You know, it's one of the things that I've been super blessed with at church. One of my roles as pastor is to encourage others to go out and serve the Lord, right? That is one of the things that I'm called to do. And what I've seen in this is I've seen several of you have a true heart and passion for the Eagle Creek Resort. I've seen it stir up in you with the gospel to every home. I've seen the Vacation Bible School, and you just automatically attached yourself to this ministry effort, and that's a good and right thing. And so what I want to do is encourage not only those individuals, but really the whole church to partner with us. And so like I said, even if you can't go, please pray for that ministry effort, right? The gospel's going to be shared. There's going to be fun. There's going to be things that we're handing out. Just a lot of things to try to let those individuals know that God loves them, and so do we. So please pray about that. October 10th. Let's see here. This is probably, want to mark this down, this involves eating, so we always want to know about that. October 17th at 6 p.m., the social committee has planned a welcome and fellowship for Raphael and Ruby. They're right down here. This is our youth pastor and his wife. Look at that picture. That picture it's just so good, man. Just so good, Raphael. You clean up well. We're going to have that celebration. Please come and join us. And again, I'm going to beat this horse until you're like, oh, quit saying this, Michael. I'm going to keep telling you this. Raphael and Ruby have to remember all of your names. All you have to remember is Raphael and Ruby. It's really easy, right? 2 R's, you got it. But they have to remember all of your all's names. So continue to introduce yourself to them, even if it's the second or third time, and use your name. Right? Be like, hey, I'm Bobby. You know, so-and-so-such, right? So to help them do that, it's very intimidating. I can only imagine trying to remember everyone's name. Luckily, I know most of you already. All right, and then we also have on there another ministry opportunity. You can see Cindy Wilhoit. If you would like to partner with her for the addiction recovery care, that's up in Owenton for some ladies that are going through rehab and opportunities to share the gospel and to show them love. That opportunity exists. And then we move from Eliza Broaddus into Operation Christmas Child. You'll see some of the boxes around the church. They're out here and they're back there. Is Peggy, you don't see her here? I don't know if you're supposed to take them today or not. I'm sure yes, if you want to. They'll put more out. I don't know. But we're getting close to the shoebox ministry, right? And so one of the things, and this is one of the things we do in our household, is Melissa shops year-round for these shoeboxes, right? To get ready to pack things for them and to get ready for that. And so we're starting into that season. We're starting to start praying about it, thinking about that, thinking about what the Lord wants you to do, how many shoeboxes that he would like for you to take and to fill. And what those shoeboxes are then done, those shoeboxes are sent throughout the world, right? We find out later where they go, but they're sent throughout the world for children to open those shoeboxes and to receive whatever is in there. And they're also presented the gospel at that time too. And one of the things, and we'll see this on many different videos, I don't know if we'll see this on today's video, but one of the things that always speaks to me is, usually there's at least one video that shows, is a child says that they never received a single thing in their life. I know that's difficult for us that live in the United States of America, that live, you know, in this level of luxury, that you can't imagine a child never receiving a single thing in their life. But these children, I remember we had the testimony last year of a young man from the middle of Europe, and he'd never received anything in his life, and he got a bar of soap and thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever received in his life, that someone gave him a bar of soap. And because of that bar of soap, something super simple, right? Just because of a bar of soap, that young man came to know the Lord because of the love someone showed him, and now he's a minister working with Shoebox Ministry, right? And so when you're buying these things and you're getting your soap and you're getting your washcloths, those are pretty common things we put in them. When you're getting those things ready, pray over those things. You'd be amazed what God can do with a bar of soap and a washcloth. We're going to watch a video over, Steve.
Jesus Christ, bring hope to our children to bring a smile.
All right. Thank you, Steve, for getting that plan for us. And so you can see that ministry, right? That ministry, is it good to give children a hope? Absolutely. But the most important thing, and we can vouch for this ministry, the most important thing this ministry does is they give them the gospel. They share the gospel with them. And so the gifts are an entry point, right? No one cares how much you know until they care how much you care. You've probably heard that before, right? And so that gives them the opportunity to then share the gospel. Pray about that. Think about that. See how God wants you to partner in this ministry. It's a very, very valuable ministry, right? So what we're going to do now is I'm going to pray for us, and then JT is going to come up, going to lead us in praise and song, and we're going to lift up words of worship to a holy, righteous God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the time that you gave us this morning in Sunday school. I thank you for the truth that we learned about your love this morning. Lord, I pray that we're able to put that love into action as we look to the second page of our bulletin, full of ministry opportunities to display love, to serve others, but most importantly, to serve you. So Lord, we thank you for those. We pray that we never see those as burdens and things that we feel like we have to do. No, we see those as things we get to do because you first loved us. We get to show that love to others. So we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this time you give us together with like-minded believers to open up God's word, to see what it says to us, to see what it teaches to us. We also thank you for this time we have right now for praise, to lift up songs of worship to you, to be producers of worship to a holy, righteous God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Y'all stand with me as we sing this morning. Deep the Father's love for us.
How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen. Bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 67, verses 1 through 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together. And Father, as we've talked so much this morning about your love, and Father, how you first loved us. And God, there's nothing that we could ever do to earn your love. Lord, I pray that you would help us each and every day to seize the opportunities that you give us, Lord, to show a little bit of that love to the people that we come in contact with. Lord, I know in Sunday school this morning that we heard testimony of just the smallest acts of kindness and showing people love and how it can change someone's day, how it can change their life. And Lord, as we've watched this video this morning of the shoebox ministry and God, the great amount of fruit that's come from that, Lord, and the way that you've blessed that, God, I just pray that you would help us to be a people that's always looking for opportunities to serve and love on those around us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy in life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. Display. for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast is you. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Jesus is my life. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, driving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Psalm 67:3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this time, Father, that we've had to come together to study your word and sing praises to your name. I ask you, Father, to be with Michael this morning to bring us this word, that it might be something that we can share with others. And thank you for this time we come to give back, Father, what you so richly blessed us with. And pray, Father, be used for your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Kids are gone. They need no reminding that it's their time to head out. Big thanks to JT for leading us this morning. I'll be the first to tell you all, that is not as easy as it looks to lead music. I can remember one time Steve volunteered me to lead the music, and I was like, Steve, I love you to death, man, but that is not what anyone wants. No one wants me leading the music. So very thankful for you, JT, in doing that. One of the things that I always have to fight this urge, right, is that when we sing songs, whether they be hymns or maybe more contemporary things, I have to always fight the urge not to just make a message on what we just sang, right? Because so many things, and one of the things we always search out in songs of praise is that they have good theology. And so they'll preach too. Those songs will preach too. And so one of the things that I wanted to make two points from the songs this morning is number one, as I ran my hell-bound race, right? Now, many of you were raised in Christian homes, and you have been walking with the Lord for a long period of your life. Amen. You should go home today and call your mom and dad, if you're still capable, and thank them for raising you in a Christian home, right? But others of us, like me, at for one point in your life, you were legit running a hell-bound race. You were running as hard as you could in the opposite direction of God. And if you were able to join us this morning, JT alluded to it in his prayer, you were able to join us, you learned about God's love. And so even as you ran, like a sprint, now don't think of me running because as you're imagining, it's not real fast. But imagine someone running super fast, sprinting as hard as they can. God's still loving them. God's still loving them. And whenever they stop, he calls them back to him, right? Just a great image for you to think about and to always be meditating on that, right? And the second one that I wanted to talk about is that live your life this way. Jesus has been victorious. Jesus has overcome the grave. We, as Scripture tells us, we are conquerors over this world. And so it is super easy to look at the world, right? To look at a newspaper, to look at a magazine, to read something online and be like, this is out of control. Like nothing good can happen. No, it seems like that in the temporary, but the reality, as Scripture tells us, Jesus has already overcome the world. So live your life victoriously, right? Live your life focused on that. It's, hey, you're going to have some bad days, but you should have way more good days than bad days simply because of that fact that Jesus has been victorious. And if you are in right relationship with Christ, you should have this huge smile on your face all the time. All the time, right? That's one of the things that I dislike about masks, and I think masks are good and safe, is that I can't see people smiling, right? And so I'm the type of person, it's hard for me to read people's emotions when they have masks on. So I'm happy and look forward to one day when the masks are not being worn as much and we can see people's smiles again. Because as Christians, we should be walking around with these smiles on our faces because of that fact. All right, now back to our regularly scheduled sermon. All right, so we come back to Joshua. We've been walking through Joshua. Some of you are like, well, we've slowly been... Yes, you know, that's okay. We got nothing but time on our hands here. We've been making our way through Joshua. I made another mistake. Big shock. I gave Steve the wrong. If you want to take your pencil and mark that there... Oh, look, it's already messed up on the one back there. Joshua 10 through 12. I gave Steve the wrong thing. So we're only going to go through 10 through 12 today. So let's read that, and then we'll discuss what's going on. God's word says this. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month of the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel. But they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the truth. It speaks to us. I thank you for the guidance it gives us. Lord, I thank you for the love that you displayed most perfectly for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word today, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, guides us and directs us, and Lord, speaks truth into our lives that we then can use to go out and better serve you on the mission field. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so what we're going to be talking about today, you have on the back of your bulletin there, you have some notes. And so the first point is this, is we're just going to simply discuss the Passover and what it represents, right? And so this might be day one stuff for a lot of you all. Like we were saying earlier, if a lot of you all were raised in church and you've heard this lesson, you've probably had this coloring book, you know, like it usually makes a lot more PC than Scripture tells us, but you've had this coloring page of what happened in the Passover. But if this is the first time you've ever heard of the Passover, that's okay, because for everyone here, one day was the first time they'd ever heard of what the Passover was, right? And so what the Passover represents, you go all the way back to Exodus. I mean, we're talking about Old Testament here, right? Old Testament is that Moses is going and speaking to the Pharaoh, and God has brought 10 plagues upon Egypt, right? To let his people go, to let his people out of bondage, right? To let the Israelites out of slavery, right? They were slaves in Egypt. And the 10th plague was that the Israelites were to take their spotless lamb, slaughter the lamb, take the blood from the lamb, put it on their doorpost that evening, and then at night, the Lord would then go throughout the city of Egypt. Any doorpost that did not have the lamb's blood on the doorpost, death would come to that household, right? And so when I say that the coloring books that your kids or you have at some point colored that, they definitely PC that up a lot, right? You can imagine what we see played out in Scripture. Scripture tells us is that there was a massive wailing in Egypt as no home was untouched with death. Right, the Israelites were protected, right? Because the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, you probably get where this is headed, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost protected them, and the Lord passed over their homes, but then brought death upon the Egyptian homes, right? And so you can only imagine. And then when that happened, the Pharaoh was like, I can no longer deal with this people, let them go. And that's when the Exodus occurred, and that's when Moses led the people out into you cross the Red Sea, and then out into the desert, and they wander around. And then that brings us to Joshua, right? And so what's occurred here for Joshua, just to give you some context of where we're at here in Joshua 5, is that they have crossed the Jordan River. That was like three sermons ago. They've crossed the Jordan River, and now they are in the Promised Land. And so you've probably remember me telling you this. One of the mega themes of the book of Joshua is victorious, right? And victorious in what? Victorious in the Lord. Another mega theme for us in Joshua is that God always, right? If you're writing notes, always, underline always, always delivers on his promises. Right? And so the Israelites, I mean, for hundreds and hundreds of years, they had been promised this land of milk and honey. They had been promised this deliverance. It would have been the main thing they talked about when they gathered with their family. I can't wait until God does this for us. And then now it's happened. And so what was the first thing they did when they crossed? We had that message. They set up the memorial stones. We've understood what memorial stones mean for us in our lives. And then last week, we discussed they reinstituted the act of circumcision, right? We had some guys squirm when we talked about that, but that's okay because that's what God's word talks about, right? And so we talked about what that represented, right? And so what that means is the people are preparing themselves. They're preparing themselves to serve the Lord. Right? And so one of the things that I had in my notes for last week, and I had messed it up and didn't share it. One of the things that what we see the covenant of circumcision, where we see that played out today in the church, is in baptism. Right? As we go through baptism, we enter into a covenant relationship, you know, buried in Christ, raised and new. Right? That's kind of one of the things that we do to kind of signify that same sacrificial preparation is how we go through baptism. And then right after they go through the act of circumcision, then they celebrate the Passover, which we've already discussed why they would celebrate the Passover. And then one of the things that I want to discuss with us is what the Passover means for us. Right? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I could be completely wrong if I am. Hey, please come and tell me later. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that most of you all are not Jewish and do not celebrate the Passover holiday. Right? Is that safe? Right? Okay. Thank you for the nod, Raphael. I appreciate that, right? I was pretty confident that no one here, but you'll notice it on your calendar, right? If on your work calendars, it's on your work calendars. It's something that's still celebrated. You know, the Jewish nation is still very, very important to them, right? It usually occurs around Easter. You'll know Easter kind of moves based on the moon. That's complicated. But Easter, the date of Easter kind of fluctuates, right? And Passover is somewhere in that time. If you're curious, I went and looked this up so I could tell you. The Passover for 2022 will be April 15th through April 23rd, if you're interested. But just to let you know, the Jews still celebrate Passover, right? It's still a very, very important thing to them because it celebrates what God did for them, right? And so we come to us in 2021. Yes, it's 2021. We come to us. What does the Passover mean to us? What is our Passover? And so one of the things that we see in our Passover is that the perfect, spotless blood of Christ serves as our, as the blood, the same blood that went on the doorpost, serves as our blood for us. And so what it recognizes for us is that we are no longer bonded to sin, right? When we die, Cliff Notes version, you're all going to die, right? It's coming for you. Sooner or later, you're going to die. You will then stand in front of a holy, righteous God. And one of the things I like to tell people, I think a lot of speakers say this incorrectly, is that they'll say, well, you'll be found not guilty. I disagree with that. You will for sure be found guilty because you are guilty. You are guilty in your sins and your trespasses. But thankfully, what you have to rely upon is the blood of Jesus Christ. What he accomplished on the cross, when he will then stand up for you and he will be able to say, yes, Irv is guilty, but he receives a pardon because of his right relationship with me. And so Christ serves as the perfect spotless lamb. One of the things that you learned this morning in your Sunday school class, right? When you're talking about love and, you know, you're talking about how do you get this love, and JT mentioned this earlier, it's like you cannot earn God's love. There's not enough time in the day. Wherever you're at on this spectrum of how much time you have left here on this side of glory, that's between you and God. It's really just between God. Well, how much time you have left on this side of glory, you do not have the time remaining to make atonement for the sins. And so what serves as our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ, right? That's why we read and we sing so many songs. We talk about the blood of the lamb. And so there is a direct correlation between the Passover that we see in Exodus as the perfect spotless lamb. Like one of the things that they were told to do as Moses is they weren't supposed to go out and get the worst lamb they had, right? They weren't supposed to get the one that no one cared about. This one's not going to bring a lot of money anyway. Let's just use this one. No, they were told to go out and get the perfect lamb, the one that had the most value to them, and use that. And so that is a direct correlation that we see in the New Testament with Jesus Christ as he serves as our perfect, spotless lamb. As he then went to the cross on our behalf, and something I like to pause on just for a second, and I always like to mention this to people, he willingly went to the cross on your behalf. No one had to drag him to the cross. No one had to say, you're going to do this or we're going to do that to you. No, he willingly went to the cross. Why? You learned it this morning in Sunday school. Because God first loved you. And because God first loved you, he sent Christ so he could go and be your atonement for your sins. And then because of your atonement of your sins, you are then supposed to do what? Go out and show love to others. Right, I just summarized the whole Sunday school lesson for you. I'm sure your Sunday school teachers spent a lot more time and did a lot better job than that. But that's the gist of the Sunday school lesson this morning. That's what we're supposed to do, right? And so, one of the main points that I'm trying to make here is this, is that when you read about the Passover, don't just simply think of it as a Jewish holiday that you don't celebrate or you don't know much about it anymore. No, it still has real workings for us, right? One of the things that's super important for us about the Passover, about our Passover that we talk about here, is that Jesus, when he came as our Passover, he fulfilled the law, right? We see that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to what? Fulfill them, right? You see this common message of God doing what God says he's going to do, right? God said one day he would send a Messiah, and that's what Christ is clearly saying here in the book of Matthew. He's clearly saying, I am that Messiah. I am here to do that. You know, one of the things I love to talk about this is that what is the advantage to us, the fact that God has fulfilled the law? Right? Well, this is a reason that when you read in the Old Testament, you don't have to do a lot of those things, right? That you don't have to celebrate a lot of the same festivals. It's the main reason you don't celebrate Passover, is that Christ has fulfilled that law. But what's super important, anytime I talk about this, I always feel like I need to talk about this as well, is that that does not mean you can just completely discard the moral law that God gave us in the Ten Commandments, right? He fulfilled that, right? You know that the Ten Commandments, the main purpose of the Ten Commandments is to point you towards a Savior. It's to tell you, hey, guess what? You can't do these on your own. You need a Savior to fulfill those. However, are we supposed to try to adhere to God's moral law? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I hear this, unfortunately, preached incorrectly at times. Like, you know what? You don't have to do any of the Ten Commandments. You're not bound to those at all. And there's a little bit of truth in that, right? A little bit of truth is that Following the Ten Commandments don't ensure your salvation, Logan, right? They don't, and thank God they don't, because you can't do them, you and everyone else here, right? But the truth is, God gave them to his people as a moral code to help us interact with others, right? One of the things, I have a whole series on the Ten Commandments. One of the great things about the Ten Commandments is they're broken down really easy. The first four is your vertical relationship between you and God. The fifth one is between you and your parents. Side note, I don't care how old you are, kids in here, when you turn 18, you don't stop following that commandment to obey your mother and father. Young adults, hear that. You don't age out of that. Logan, I'm going to pick on you again. You made eye contact. That's your fault, right? Just because you are your age, how old are you, Logan? 31. Oh, you had to think too long on that, right? Just because you're that age, you don't get out of not obeying your mother and father anymore. That's still a moral commandment that God has given you. And that's something that we need to understand, right? I'm 48. I'm going to be 49 pretty soon, Logan, right? I'm 48. I'm still to honor my mother and father, right? That did not go away. And then the rest of the commandments help us with our other horizontal relationships between one another. For Raphael and I, like, I'm not supposed to lie to Raphael. He's not supposed to lie to me, right? I'm not supposed to bear false witnesses against somebody, right? That's what those commandments are for. And so I'm chasing a little bit of a rabbit here, okay? But when you read this and you hear, and I hope you've heard this before. I'm praying this isn't the first time you've heard this. When you hear the fact that Christ has fulfilled the law, you should say amen, right? That's an amazing thing. Because some of us would be better Pharisees than others, right? Because there's a lot of rules they had to follow. There's a lot of festivals. We would get to eat a little bit more, but there's a lot of things going on. But just because those have been, that Christ fulfilled the law, it doesn't mean you completely don't, it doesn't mean the moral code that he's given you in the Old Testament is to be trashed and thrown away. Don't do that. It's really bad. It's not God-honoring, right? One of the things that we also see here, and I'm going to put someone on spot, Bobby. You made eye contact. Thank you very much. How many Gospels are there, Bobby? Four. I helped you there, four, right? And so if traditionally I think that is a very right answer, I pray that everyone know that. What if I told you I believe there are 66 Gospels, right? I believe every book of the Bible is a gospel in some form or fashion. That was the right answer, Bobby. You gave the right answer, right? But what we see here is we're talking about fulfilling the law. I want to plant this seed in your brain and let it grow. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Every book of the Bible points to him. And that's exactly what we see here about the Ten Commandments. As we discuss the Ten Commandments and the fact that Christ fulfilled all those laws, all of those laws point us to this fact. We can't follow laws very well, right? Most of you probably can't follow the speed limit very well, if we want to be honest, right? Yes, I heard someone say yes. Yeah, and so we have a problem with laws, and so we are thankful that God has atoned for those. And the reality of this is that every book, the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament, all 66 books point us to Christ. And so every time you read a Sunday school lesson, or you spend time reading Scripture, or you spend time alone in prayer, you pray over Scripture, I think that's a very right way to pray, all of those are pointing you towards Christ one way or the other. Sometimes it's harder to see than others. I would be the first to admit that. But they're all there. It's all there, right? We saw that. That's like one of the main things that we were talking about in 1 John so far, right? If you've been going to your Sunday school classes, is that we're talking about one of the things that John is saying is that what does this look like about Jesus, right? Raphael and I had a conversation earlier, and John gives us that message about what do others teach about Jesus, right? Raphael will talk about is like, how do people pray about Jesus? Because most people don't have any problem with God, right? Every religion is like, yeah, I worship God. No, we'd have no problem with that. We worship God. But then when you enter Christ into the mathematical equation of your salvation, that's where it gets difficult for people, right? And so one of the things I encourage you, as, and I'm going to move on here, I promise. One of the things that I encourage you is that when you hear people teach, what are they teaching you about Christ? What do they say about Christ? What do their songs sing about Christ? And when you understand how they treat Christ, as they treat him as the perfect spotless lamb that allows us to enter into this Passover, that's when you can understand that's good, rightly teaching. There's other things to test there, but that's a very, very important one. What do they teach about Christ, right? I'm sure your Sunday school teachers have shared with you. That's one of the mega themes of 1 John, is that You know, John is having a battle against false prophets, and they're teaching wrong things about Christ. They're teaching that Christ wasn't actually a man. They're teaching that he didn't come in flesh. And that's why he's talking about love so much, and he's talking about what Christ looks like, because it matters. Just like it mattered to 1 John, it matters to you today in 2021 what people teach about Christ. There's a lot of wrong teaching. You can go right now. Please don't leave right now. You can leave. You can go right now. Turn your TV on, and you can legit find some false prophets that are teaching you the wrong thing about Christ right now. So it's not just a problem then. It wasn't just a problem for Joshua, right, as he's dealing with idolatry in the land, right? It's not just a problem for 1 John. It's a problem for us today. Pay attention to that, right? And what we see there is, we've always talked about Jesus as our Passover. Let me give you some scripture to help you cement that into your brain for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him being who? Him being Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Right? And so, one of the things, if I could be so bold to ask you or to encourage you to pray and think about something, think about this. The next time you pray, really dwell on grace. Really ask God to give you a deeper understanding of his grace. The deeper your understanding of God's grace for you, the greater your love will grow. I promise you that. Because the reality is, you don't deserve any of this, right? What do you deserve? You deserve hell. That's what you deserve. You have been found guilty. You are guilty of these trespasses, right? Like we said earlier, and I was joking with Logan, you can't even keep the Ten Commandments. Those were only 10 rules. You can't even keep those 10 rules, right? The Pharisees upped that up to around 500. No way. No way, right? You can't do those. And so be thankful for his grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 8. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. That's easy for me. I'm kind of a lump. As you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Right? So let's unpack that just for a little bit, because I'm a huge fan of 1 Corinthians. I love 1 Corinthians. It's kind of weird because it's a church in crisis, but it helps us as a church in 2021 understand some things. So what Paul is telling the Corinthian church here is like, listen, you guys, the old leaven, like the old sin that you have in you, you guys are being mean to one another. You're being horrible to one another, right? If you remember 1 Corinthians, there's like massive sexual impurity happening in the Corinthian church. Like, people are legit getting drunk at the Lord's Supper and throwing it as a party. Like, there's real problems with the Corinthian church. And so what Paul, yeah, I know it sounds crazy. I'm glad that you all laugh at that, that you've never experienced getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, right? And so what he's telling them here is like, listen, when you receive this grace, when you have a understanding of what the Passover lamb accomplished for you, you know, you should now have sincerity and truth for your brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you able to have that? Because of what Christ accomplished on the cross for you, because of the love he had for you. Now that love now resides in you as you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you are now able to go out and to show that truth in sincerity and truth and in love, right? Super important. Last one I'll give you there. And the reason I'm giving you three verses here is that to lock in this understanding that Christ is our Passover lamb. I want to understand that. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." You see this constant. It's throughout Scripture that Christ is our Passover lamb. Right? And so if we leave here today with no other understanding, I pray that you leave here with that. Is that when you see Passover, when you read that, when you encounter that in your scripture reading, Christ was your Passover lamb, right? Now, that's not a guarantee, right? Just because Christ went to the cross as a propitiation for our sins, not just because he accomplished that, you have something to do as well. You have to come to him. You have to begin living in obedience to Jesus Christ. This isn't a guarantee. It has been accomplished for those who enter into a right relationship with Christ. And so I want to be very careful not to give anyone any false hope. Be like, well, this is done. He's talked for 20 minutes about Christ has accomplished this, so I'm good to go. That's true, but then you have a role to play also. You have to make that move. You have to hear, God has to begin calling your heart. And when you start feeling your heart being called to God, you have to respond to that call, right? And then what that looks like obedience. That looks like being truthful and faithful and loving to one another, right? That's one of the reasons. I know I keep going back to 1 John. I know Cindy told me this. She said, Michael talks about 1 John all the time. Now we got a Sunday school lesson. He goes, we got to be experts in 1 John. I hope that we're all experts in 1 John by the time this is said and done. Because don't forget, John is known as what? The apostle of love. And not love in a weird way, biblical love, right? That he loves people, that he cares for people. We should model that. When we understand that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we should display love as well. That's why I am always so blessed. I think I did this last week. We have a full page almost every Sunday with ministry opportunities at this church. Right? Why do we have that? It's because we're trying to show God's love to other people in a myriad of ways. We do this at the Ark. We do this at Eagle Creek Resort. We do Dining with Dignity. We have Shoebox Ministry. Lots of ways to display God's love. We should be doing that. And how are we able to do that? Because God first loved us. We move on, right? And so this is the third point here. And this is, we see, celebrated alongside the Passover, this festival doesn't get as much love as the Passover gets. I'm not sure I've ever seen this festival on my calendar or anything. Why do I have Jewish holidays on my calendar? I don't know, but I do. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Right? And so this goes hand in hand with the Passover. Again, many of you have probably heard this story. If this is your first time, that's great too. Is that they were told to be in a hurry, right? We got to go. The Lord is coming to basically lay waste to the Egyptian households who do not put the lamb's blood on their doorpost and do not receive the Passover. You guys got to be ready because we're ready to rock and roll and get out of here. Right? And so what that represented them is they were then supposed to get bread that was unleavened. There's no time to bake the bread. We don't have time to fire up the oven, which they would have had stone ovens in their houses. We don't have time to fire that oven up and make this bread. Grab the bread that's already ready and let's go. Right? And so again, this serves as a reminder to God's people, talking about the Israelites right now, is that we needed to be urgent and to follow what God said. What does that mean for us in 2021? We, too, need to live our lives in an urgent manner, right? This is the reason why we share the gospel with people. There is no way, I don't know, no one knows. One of the guaranteed ways to ferret out a false prophet is when they begin telling you when Christ is going to return, right? I could give you lots of examples of cults that have done that over the years, wrong every time, right? But I cannot stand up here and tell you when Christ is going to return. I don't know. Christ himself said, I don't know when I'm going to return. But the fact is this, God's word tells us this, JT, he for sure is going to return. And so we need to feel that urgency in our lives. I'm not saying we need to be neurotic and just run around like, you know, a rat on acid all the time. I'm not saying you need to live your life that way. But there should be a little bit of urgency in your life, right? If you have a loved one who you know right now does not profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you should feel that urgency. You should feel that desire and that need to share the gospel with them. Does that ensure that they're going to enter into a right relationship with Christ? Unfortunately, no. But you need to do your part, and then God will do his part. God will call them to him. So what I'm asking is, like, do you feel that urgency? Right? Do you feel that? Do you feel the need to be sharing the gospel? Do you feel that? How do you do that, right? How do you share the gospel? Well, I'm a firm believer in this, and there's lots of right answers to this question. This is my opinion. This is the right answer. How do you do this? You have to form relationships. You have to form relationships with people. You have to talk to people, right? And so I know we probably have a spectrum in here. We've got some extroverts that are just living their life out there. Everything's on display. They're good to go. And then on the other side, that's you, Irv, we got others, I'm just joking. We've got others on the other side of the spectrum that are introverts, right? That have difficulty starting a conversation, that have difficulty looking someone in the eye and talking, right? So we have that spectrum. No matter where you fall on this spectrum, the truth is you should be living with a little bit of urgency. This should be a little bit of a motivation. This should help you draw upon the strength of the Holy Spirit to speak truth in the people's lives, because the reality is this, Christ could come right now. Ooh, the lightning right when I said that. Did y'all see that? Christ could come right now. Right. Get ready. Get ready. No, seriously, are you living with a little bit of that urgency? I think that is good, and I think that is right, and I think that's what Scripture teaches. That's what Moses encouraged the Israelites, like, hey, let's go, get ready, it's time to go. We as Christians should always be looking for opportunities to form relationships, and through those relationships, be able to speak truth into people's lives. You probably know what's coming next, Jamie. I'm going to plug Sunday school. Sunday school is massively important in this. If you're in this church and you don't feel like, I don't feel like I really got a relationship with somebody, I know some of these people, if you'll get plugged into a Sunday school class, that'll help. That'll grow. That'll get better. I'm not saying it won't be a little awkward at times, because, you know, it might be. But you can grow in that. Get plugged into a Sunday school class. Through that Sunday school class, you'll be able to have transparency. You'll be able to have honest, truthful conversations that allow you to, number one, come to know other people, number two, grow in Christ, and number three, give you even more confidence to share the gospel as you grow in the Lord. Sunday school classes are so important. You know, you guys know, in my former life, I was a scientist. I love research. I love hard data. You know, one of the things that's true, the KBC, the SBC, there's tons of studies that show this. What anchors someone to a church is a Sunday school class. Right? It's not the preaching, because there's going to be days that are super bad. Logan, not today. No, I'm just joking. Logan didn't say anything. I'm just joking. Right? Not today. Right? There's going to be days that the preaching doesn't go well. There's going to be days that maybe something is said, you're like, I don't know about that. Right? Those days are going to happen. Hopefully not many, but it could happen. What will lock you in and help you grow is a Sunday school class. I'm telling you, it will help you. Please, please, please get involved in Sunday school class. I wanted to read something here from you from one of my favorite books. You guys are like, you say every book's your favorite book. Maybe it is. I don't know. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, running that hellbound race, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So if we read that, and if you believe that, and I pray everyone here believes that this morning. If not, I would love to have a conversation with you in a little bit. If you believe that, that should cause you to have a little bit of urgency, right? As you think about these unleavened breads and like, hey, let's go. We're heading out of Egypt. We're leaving right now. God wants us to be ready right now. God wants you to be sharing the gospel right now. He wants you to be building relationships with people right now. He wants you to be loving people right now, because you never know when he's going to return. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities you give us to come and gather with like-minded believers. I thank you for the Holy Spirit as it leads us and guides us in this understanding. I'm thankful for your love and your grace. Lord, I'm thankful, most importantly, for the Passover that we experienced in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. So thankful for that. I'm thankful that now I can live a victorious life knowing that as my Passover lamb, I have been redeemed. I am now on the path of sanctification, growing in you, trying to be more like you every day. So I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone with us here today who doesn't understand what you accomplished on the cross for them, I would love to have a conversation with them. Lots of people here would love to have that conversation with them. And Lord, I just pray that you give us this sense of urgency as we head out into the mission field of our homes and our workplaces and people we interact with on a daily basis. As we head out into that mission field, we feel a little bit of that urgency and that desire and that need to share the gospel with others, to help point them towards Christ, because the alternative is horrible, and we don't want that for our loved ones. We don't want that for anyone we don't even know. So Lord, we just ask that you give us those opportunities and that we take them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Blessed is your assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. The
is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, twinkling above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
I'll tell you all this. JT and I have a long history of messing with one another. And so when I opened my eyes from that prayer and I couldn't see him, I was like, I know he's somewhere. I know he's somewhere, and then he's right behind me like the biggest ninja ever. And there he was, right? JT, thank you again for leading us in that. You know, it's just fits right in with our scripture, is, you know, just so thankful and just praising God all the day long, right? So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask someone to close us in prayer. We'll give everyone about 5 minutes to make any adjustments you need to make, and then we will call our business meeting with Tony. Will come up. I don't know what else to say than adjustments, JT. Tony will come up and lead us in that business meeting, all right? Lori, will you close us in prayer, please? Thank you.